Welcome to Giving Voices, stories told by and about philanthropists, where philanthropists and their advisors tell stories about how they influenced, experienced, and led through times of transition, where we celebrate and learn from that transition, that period where decisions are made, and where we always find a meaningful way to connect and foster community. I'm your host, Stephanie Borsari, and now for today's show. Hello, Giving Voices community. Today, I am so proud that this is my very first podcast episode featuring a guest. So you are joining me in the inaugural guest episodes, and I'm delighted to have that episode be with my dear friend, Steve Jacob. Steve, hello. Thank you for being here with me.
So good to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to be my first guest.
A thrill.
As always, Steve and I have known each other for going on 25 years. This is my 25th year of marriage, and I met Steve right after I got married at a conference for fundraisers back when I was recruiting. And I think that's when you were at Albin. Were you at Albin Rehab Center at that point, Steve?
That's a good memory. Have you been looking at my resume?
Maybe.
I'd say it was a brief cup of coffee at the Albin Centers before I moved into the main hospital, Bridgeport Hospital. But you're right about the silver anniversary. It was the spring, I think, of 99, where we met at the conference for New England Association of Healthcare Philanthropy.
Well, it would have had to have been, yes, but it would have had to have been the year 2000 because I got married in 99. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyhow.
You stumble on the math.
Let's not have anybody spend any time on math because that's certainly not my strength. But I do know that one of your strengths, having looked at your resume, because this is not the kind of stuff we talk about generally speaking, is that you have been fundraising for 30 years and you have raised more than $175 million, helping donors to make the impact that they want to make at the institutions you've served professionally, which you referenced briefly. Currently is at Bridgeport Hospital as the Chief Development Officer and President of the Bridgeport Hospital Foundation, and as Vice President of Development at Yale New Haven Hospital, and a member of the Executive Committee in that capacity. Am I getting all that right?
You are. Well done.
Thank you.
I'm very blessed. I've had a wonderful career starting at my alma mater, Fairfield College Prep School, and then moving into healthcare in 1999, and so celebrating 25 years in healthcare philanthropy, and have seen a lot, and more than anything else, just feel very privileged to have worked with so many wonderful and generous people that improve lives and improve health in our regional community. It's been an honor.
Well, it's another celebration that we can share. I mean, over the years, we've known each other well enough that we have shared lots of milestones, celebrations, some losses and heartbreaks along the way, and years of talking about the nonprofit sector and philanthropy. And we've recently been discussing philanthropy in sort of a new way for us, as my consulting practice has matured and the concept of giving voices has emerged. And as you have become more and more intentional about the concept and idea of family philanthropy, which is really the topic of today's conversation and how I was able to lure you in. So let's talk, if you don't mind, just briefly about that 3 decades as a chief development officer. You've got tons of stories about helping families build legacy and making impact. And then we'll transition to something that's a little bit more personal, or maybe, in fact, a whole lot more personal. But maybe you could start us off, Steve, and just give us an example in your professional environment of a family gift that you helped to shepherd that was transformational to the donors, even if it wasn't necessarily transformational for the institution. Can you talk to us about that?
I'd love to. And maybe an important side note first, the Association of Fundraising Professionals, which is our association, was very involved. I'm a CFRE and was very involved both locally and at the national level early in my career. I was president of the Fairfield County chapter. And after finishing 2 terms as president, I got very involved in our youth and philanthropy work. And they called it the Next Generation Committee at AFP, the national level. And that was I think, my first real intentional exposure, volunteer exposure to the dynamics of family philanthropy. And so that has really informed the way that I have worked with families over over the course of my career, especially at Bridgeport and now Yale New Haven Hospitals. And there's so, like you say, there are so many stories, and it could take up 4 of your episodes, but we'll pick one.
Is that a plug? Was that a...
Yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah. The ongoing
stay
sagas.
Tuned. There's more to come for those of you who enjoy, as I do, the these dynamics of, you know, parents working with their children and maybe even grandchildren, and, you know, a couple of cases talking about the importance of giving back and identifying their priorities and coming up with a plan, right? Formulating strategies, you know, as a family. It's just it's always been fascinating to me. And the story I think of from my time at Bridgeport Hospital, we had a wonderful chair of the hospital board who sadly passed away. It will be 5 years later in February, at the end of February. And this board chair also served on the Bridgeport Hospital Foundation board. We often do that, as we have a couple of members serving on both boards to ensure open and transparent communication. And this board chair happened to be a champion of our work in community health, and particularly of a wonderful service that we have at Bridgeport Hospital called the Primary Care Center. We have the only hospital-based primary care center in Fairfield County, serving 10,000 patients a year, primarily from the poorest city in Bridgeport and poorest area in Bridgeport, which is the East End, where the hospital is located, and Bridgeport is the poorest city in Connecticut. So these are individuals and families that are grappling with the many aspects of poverty and all the implications of that in their lives and their family's life. And the primary care center, it has become a medical home, to use a hospital term, where we get them anchored with primary care physician and specialty physicians as they need, but we also provide wraparound social work support and nurse navigators that close language gaps if necessary. So really a sort of a 360 degree service for patients and their families. And so this board chair and foundation board member became a champion of our philanthropy efforts to bring additional resources to the primary care center. And he helped us not only with his own gifts, but with his tapping into his network so that we could identify some other donors. And there was a sort of a mini campaign to support a couple of new staff positions in the primary care center. And then when he passed away, sadly, in 2019, his two sons, who inherited leadership of the family business, which is based in Bridgeport, with their mom, decided to keep the giving to the primary care center going. And they made a gift through the family business to the same program, developing and enhancing staff in the primary care center. And in the aftermath of that gift, one of the two sons joined the foundation board to carry on his dad's legacy as a volunteer, as a trustee, as well as a donor. And it was just so gratifying to be in touch with the family as they started conversations after the father passed away about what was important to them, what their legacy, his legacy meant to them, and how they wanted to continue some of the philanthropic activity that he had begun. And then to have one of his sons join the foundation board was particularly delightful and gratifying. So again, so many examples of families that have gotten involved and gotten engaged at a very deep level. But that one, because of the visibility of the father as a board chair and what the values that he transmitted to his family and the deep connection he transmitted to his family with the hospital, really will always stick with me.
Thank you for sharing that, because I've heard that story before, but there's something about it today that you've shared that is leads me to ask you what your biggest takeaway or learning experience from seeing that all happen. What was that for you? What was your biggest learning experience or takeaway? You've talked about being gratified, but what is your biggest takeaway from that, Steve?
I think I was really proud to discover that the development officer can play a significant role in the life and evolution of a family's thinking about their giving. And even through periods that are very difficult and very hard, like losing a patriarch, the father of this very prominent Bridgeport family, even through their grief and after their initial grieving, they were thinking about what was important to him and preserving and growing that and engaging with it in their own way. And so there are times where you have to be patient, and there are times where it's appropriate to listen, and there are times where it's appropriate for you to ask how things are going and what their thoughts are, their plans are for the future in terms of their carrying on a loved one's legacy and particularly philanthropy. There is a place for us as philanthropy professionals and development officers through all of the milestones and the successes and the triumphs and the sadnesses and the tragedies that a family experiences. And that was something I'd never really thought of it that way before.
Well, you found yourself in the position of being an advisor as opposed to representing solely the institution for, who's employed you, right? Like, I imagine you are not unused to shepherding gifts, but it sounds to me like you looked at this with a different sort of lens from an advisory, a philanthropic advisory, family advisor perspective. And we've been talking a lot about family philanthropy, and we've been having intentional and focused conversations about that from the donor perspective. And this is where we transition to the personal, Steve, if you're ready for that.
Let's go for it. It's top of mind.
Yes, it is. Thank you. This is as your family, multiple generations come together on a significant contribution to an institution that's very important to three generations of the Jacob family. And just really briefly, if you could just give us a quick synopsis of the scenario. So I'm not doing the talking for you, which is, it's your story to tell. But we've been talking a lot. And if you could just bring our listeners up to date real quickly about what that topic is and where this gift is going.
Thank you for opening this door. It's really exciting to talk about this, and just it fills me with joy to be able to share this story. We are three generations of graduates, male graduates from Fairfield College Preparatory School, commonly referred to in these parts as Fairfield Prep, the Jesuit high school of the state of Connecticut, the only one. And my dad graduated in the late 1950s. I graduated in the early part of the 80s. Ouch. And my son Matt graduated in 2016. I've also had other roles. I mentioned my role as chief development officer for Fairfield Prep briefly in the early 90s. And I also was a faculty member there. And I'm now a trustee. And just loving being involved with the school. I think the school is as healthy and thriving as well as it ever has. And so all of that, that's the short version, all of that sort of has come together to, as the backdrop to a very important, significant family gift to the school.
And what can you tell us about that family gift, that significant family gift? What is significant about this? You gave us the backdrop that there are three alumni, and certainly the center around which, or the foundation that institution has provided to all of you. But why is this so significant?
I shouldn't leave my mom out of this equation because
good point.
I'm looking at you, and I'm remembering that we share a history and an appreciation for Jesuits and Jesuit education. And even though my mom never graduated from a Jesuit institution, she's been every bit as much an advocate for Jesuit education and for our family's involvement with the Society of Jesus.
Well, she's a prep parent.
She's a prep parent. She's My son, Matt, went to Loyola University in Baltimore. So she's a Loyola grandparent and a volunteer at Fairfield University. So she's been very, very involved, closely involved in all of these conversations. It's not just the guys.
Gotcha.
And so it's been, and I'm an only child. And so, you know, it's a small family. I have four stepchildren, but Matt is my parents' only grandchild by blood. And
also the only one that's graduated from prep, right?
That's correct. That's correct. That may change in a few years, but to date, he is the only prep graduate. So all of those conditions certainly created fertile ground for our family's conversations. Prep is in the quiet phase of a large capital campaign, which has a number of different pillars to it. And we decided as a family that we wanted to support financial aid at Prep to ensure that the school remains affordable to a diverse group of prospective students. And this was very much tied to my dad's experience when he attended Prep in the late 50s. It was because both of his parents worked very hard and multiple jobs to be able to send him to Prep. And so he otherwise would not have had that opportunity, and to this day remains very grateful that he had that opportunity. And so we talked about it as a family and chose that sort of pillar of the campaign and created the Jacob Family Endowment.
Oh, that's news. I didn't know that. That is
new.
Thank you for sharing that. I was kept waiting to get to the part where I was like, well, the three of you generations are coming together to make a gift. Like, that was the punchline, but you just completely trumped the punchline and gave an even better one. Congratulations.
We gave it a name.
Gave it a name. Well, even when you and I last talked, I'm not even sure that you had narrowed it down yet to financial aid. I think that was one of the options. But as I recall, and we've talked about this before, service was one of the options. Oh, gosh. So
service, all right. And Ignatian formation of the faculty. So formation and ongoing professional development of the faculty in sort of that paradigm of St. Ignatius and his followers was another avenue we were exploring. It's been really so terrific to engage with the leadership of the school. There was a wonderful luncheon that we had in the fall with the president of the school and the chief development officer and my parents and me. Matt was in the city and working, so he couldn't make it up to Connecticut for that meeting. But we sort of they laid out all the options for us and asked great questions and listened very closely, and then came back with a proposal that we reviewed very carefully as a family. We shared with Matt and ended up making what is for us a very significant multi-year commitment to the school that also gives us some flexibility to kind of repurpose some of the dollars down the road. So at least in the coming year, probably 2 years, our focus will be on financial aid, but there's an opportunity to revisit that and perhaps benefit another pillar of the campaign in a few years. So Matt was very involved in the conversations, was very supportive, and we made the gift official before the end of calendar 2023.
Oh, that is so exciting. Congratulations. I would love to elevate the conversations that you had with Matt. Again, if we're talking about family philanthropy, I know from what you have shared with me throughout our relationship and conversations, your dad and your mom are very familiar with the work that you do. And you've also shared with me that, you know, that's philanthropy is just a part of your family's life. You happen to work professionally in philanthropy. And because of that, the requirements for you to be on the road or for you to be at events and to bring your family sometimes. I mean, philanthropy is a part of your whole life. I know that from our conversations. I would love to hear more about the specific conversation that you and Matt, and if I recall, you were able to rope in his girlfriend to the conversation as well. Yes, please. Like, spill the tea. Who said what? Where were you? What was your great takeaway from that? Talk about that specific conversation. Like when you put on your philanthropy advisor hat, which you're doing when you're stewarding this conversation with the next generation. What did that look like?
Well, my parents were very interested in my perspective on involving Matt beyond the, what do you think of this, Matt? Are you supportive of the idea of our family making this significant gift to Fairfield Prep? And what I mean by that is they were really interested. My parents were really interested to know how I could invite and coax Matt into making his own contribution to.
So that was their idea.
That was their idea, but they were a little uncertain about how to execute on that idea, and so we're very interested to know my thinking on it, and frankly, I needed a few weeks to walk around with that and plan how I would approach it with Matt, and it ended up being a very comfortable and fascinating conversation that we had over the holidays when Matt and his girlfriend Sabrina were spending some time with us, with my wife and stepkids and me in Southport. And the conversation just sort of, you know, came up rather casually and organically. I updated Matt that we were close to closing the gift. And I said, how do you see yourself and your involvement in our giving to Prep? We want you to be part of it, but tell me what you're thinking. And
did he know already then that you and your folks were planning something?
He did.
So at this point, it was like, bring you up to date, and not like he's not hearing about it for the first time.
No, he knew about the lunch that we had with the president and the VP of development, because we invited him to join us, and he couldn't. But he was interested to know after the fact, you know, how that conversation went. And so we'd been keeping him up to date. But this on this particular occasion where we had lots of time to discuss it, I was interested in getting to a point where he would be comfortable saying, I'd like to participate, right? And I was interested in helping him sort of figure out what exactly that looked like. So there would really be some commitment. He could make some commitment to it. And so I started by saying, you know, tell me about whether philanthropy is part of your field of vision and your experience right now as a 25-year-old living in New York City. And I asked the same question of Sabrina separately. Matt left the room to go walk the dog, and Sabrina and I got a chance to have the same conversation. I know.
Got a chance, she says with air quotes.
Right. Yeah. No. and their responses were really interesting. They basically said that they're in saver mode because they're thinking about their life together and buying a house, their first house, and what it's going to take financially to do that, and after that starting a family. And so, you know, as many mid-20s young people in their mid-20s are doing, they're assessing you know, how does my current income level and ability to save impact those sorts of plans. And so they said, we become aware of philanthropy and giving to charity when somebody that's close to us invites us into the conversation. And he gave a couple of examples, one of them being a walk for breast cancer that my wife and I invited Matt and Sabrina to join us for earlier in the fall in New York City. And so they had talked about that after the fact and talked about the possibility of supporting that event in the future. And they referred to social media, right? No surprise, where lots of their friends post about the charities that they and or their families are close to, and similarly, bike rides, walks, other events designed to raise funds for the American Heart Association or American Cancer Society, or, you know, something even more personal and more local. And so, you know, it's in the background, and when someone that they love and trust and admire sort of moves the opportunity to give a little bit forward and into their vision, they will consider giving, they'll consider volunteering, they'll consider participating. But the world is moving very fast, and it's not a recurrent topic of conversation unless somebody brings it up,
like their dad over the holidays, very intentionally,
as an example.
I mean, hypothetically saying.
And Matt was very receptive to this idea of, we'd like you, Matt, Grandma and Grandpa and I would like you to participate at a level that is both comfortable for you, but also is meaningful for you. So we left the amount entirely to him, but we asked that he make a gift that was meaningful in each of the years that we were paying on our pledge to Fairfield Prep.
And so comfortable so as not to put him into dire straits, but significant enough such that he would have to think about it and that it is significant and meaningful to him.
Right. And so I don't know what that amount is, and he didn't volunteer it, but I trusted him to think about it and choose an amount that was meaningful for him. And that required a little bit of sort of a, you know, can I do this? Right.
So did he go directly to Prep then and make his commitment directly with them? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's like,
not least of which he probably waited till December 31st at midnight.
Hey, easy.
or at 11:59.
There was somebody manning the phones at that point too, so not to worry.
The website is always open. And
that's right. That's right. Congratulations. That's awesome. I know when we have talked about this previously, we joked a lot about, you know, well, you know, I'm a philanthropy advisor and I have all of these tools. And I remember you specifically saying, well, I'm just going to trust my voice. And I'm loving hearing how your voice, especially here on Giving Voices, let's just say it, how that voice played out and where you've landed, because this is all news to me also. And I'm delighted. Thank you for sharing that with me and the Giving Voices community all at the same time. We are coming real close. We may even be a little bit over time. So I'm just going to ask you, Steve, to bring this home for us with your vast experience in philanthropy and in the nonprofit sector. I've been asking, I'd like to be asking all of my guests this question as we continue to collaborate and develop community in the social sector. I'd love to understand from you, what is your greatest wish for the social sector? Interpret as you will.
I was reading an article in Smithsonian Magazine about American philanthropy recently, and they suggested a contemporary definition of philanthropy, which really resonated with me. And I've been carrying around and sharing with my colleagues when I have the opportunity. So I'll share it here. And their definition, they suggested the definition be supporting and recognizing the humanity of others.
Love that.
So that's pretty inclusive, right? It's among the more inclusive ways of describing the work that we do and the power of what donors do every day. And so my greatest wish is to keep that front and center in the work that I do and my team does every day. I think it's a touchstone that would serve us all well.
Thank you. And I'm going to, of course, ask you to direct me to that article. And perhaps we can even share it with our listeners. Steve, thank you so much for taking this time with me. Thank you for jumping when I was sort of casually mentioned, hey, I'm going to do a podcast. It's sort of like, you know, hey, let's put on a show. And you said, well, sign me up. And I really am grateful for that. And I'm grateful for how our relationship has evolved and changed such that we have these really intentional conversations about philanthropy from all of the angles that we do. So I tip my hat to you, sir. And I thank you and am grateful for your participation with me today.
Well, I'm so proud of you for launching this adventure. And I think the world of you and wish you much success, not only in the podcast, but with the new business that you've started. It's been a joy to be with you today.
you for listening to Giving Voices and for being part of our community. If you have a story you'd like to share or you'd just like to geek out about philanthropy together, reach out to me at hello@givingvoicespodcast.com. I can't wait to talk with you.